right, welcome back to Hard Facts. 11 minutes gone past 5, and now we'll talk about Russia-Ukraine conflict and, of course, how it affects Nigeria. All right, so many people have been talking about this. It's all over the internet. And in case you didn't know, there are about 4,000 Nigerians who are currently in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Maybe you didn't know. And some of them are studying, some are doing business. Some are doing ministry, talking about church. I remember a pastor, I'm trying to remember his name right now, but he posted something yesterday online where he said that he could hear the sounds of the bomb blasts, right, from where he was. And it's quite scary. Now, with the invasion of Ukraine, are the Nigerians in Ukraine at risk? Although the Russian President Vladimir Putin says the invasion is targeted at military installations, but there are fears there will be civilian casualties. Now, there's something about Russia that maybe you do not know. Russia is the world's second largest producer of natural gas, largest exporter of wheat, and of the world's... it is one of the world's largest oil-producing nations. So with the conflict, could this affect Nigeria's economy in any way, good or bad? Just yesterday, the price of crude oil went up. The Brent crude, actually. It actually went up. And somehow that was supposed to be something good for Nigeria. But then there's the subsidy thing that's going on as well. All right, so I may not really have all the information. So let's hear from an expert who will explain to us how this conflict going on all the way Eastern Europe, how it affects Nigeria and maybe Nigerians as well. So I have a professor of constitutional law, Professor Richard Wokocha, joining me via telephone. Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening, Constance, and good evening, Nigerians.
You're welcome. So how does what is going on in Russia, in Ukraine, of course, Russia and Ukraine, how does this conflict affect Nigeria, whether good or bad?
Personally, I would have said geographically it's too far to affect Nigeria. But as you know, the world is a global village now.
Yeah.
And especially in economic terms. It's practically one family. Nigeria is a monosectoral economy, so one that is fully dependent on oil. Despite the funds we have done in different areas, our key area is the oil, and that's virtually entirely what we depend on as a nation. So that means because the conflict involved has something to do with oil and gas production, what is happening there is going to affect the international market, and that is definitely going to have implications for Nigeria. There are two critical things about Russia that are likely to affect Nigeria economically.
All right.
First is that Russia is one of the top three oil producers in the world. Almost half of its sales goes to China, but the rest goes to the West. And so, with a conflict of this nature and the threats that have been issued, as it stands now, it's no longer a question of threats because the conflict has begun in earnest. Some hundreds of Ukrainian soldiers have been killed so far. So the crisis is upon us. And the Western nations are definitely imposing sanctions, reaction as they have threatened. Now, what this will mean is that Russian oil may not find its way into the international market. Given the proclivity and history of China, it's likely to still be able to sell to China, but at least about half of its production, which usually services the section of the world where our oil also services, is not going to be in the market. So that will have a positive effect for Nigeria, the first effect, meaning that oil prices are likely to rise. As experts like J.P. Morgan have projected, prices are likely to rise from slightly below $100 per barrel that they are today to up to $150 from the projections going on. It's going to rise up to $150. So what that will mean is that there's going to be more revenue coming in from our major sector, which is oil, on which we depend. But Russia has another relationship that should affect us this time adversely. Russia is one of the leading producers of wheat,
mm-hmm.
and one of the leading suppliers of the wheat market in the world. And so if sanctions affect Russia's production of wheat, then we should also be prepared for increase, for rise in the price of things that depend on wheat. As you know, we are not independent in that respect. And we can almost say we are not producing wheat here in commercial enough quantity to account for our wheat consumption. And so confectionaries such as cakes, biscuits, even bread and noodles,
pasta,
wheat are going to increase in Nigeria as sanctions hit Russian sale of wheat or Russian supply of wheat into the wheat market. So in these two major economic ways, we expect what is going on in Ukraine at the instance of Russia is going to have serious economic effects on Nigeria.
Wow. So is there something our government can even do or attempt to do to ensure that we're not adversely affected?
On the other side, it's to ensure that there is no slowdown or there is no cut in our production.
Okay.
So that what we take to the market remains constant or consistent without reducing. That will give us the chance of earning a bit more from the increase in the price at which we'll be selling it. On the other side, on the second side I mentioned, what you can do as a nation is begin to maximize your capacity to produce what you are importing in commercial quantity. Remember that even the oil we are selling at the international market is at a price, we also buy back finished products from the international market. So even as we talk of increase in price, we are also going to be mindful of increase of the cost at which we will buy petroleum products that we buy, the finished products that we buy from other countries. Remember that the state talk about substitutes and oil substitutes and petroleum substitutes and all that. So
yeah.
It's going to mean that government is going to spend more on petroleum subsidies for importing finished products. So what we can do is maximize what we are taking into the market so that we earn a little more to cover the expenses we are going to make in importing finished products. And on the side of wheat, in particular, as I mentioned, we begin to look at our capacity to produce those things. The middle belt area of Nigeria is highly productive, has been said to be capable of taking care of virtually the entire West Africa's agricultural needs. So we can see how we can maximize our production of wheat and make ourselves. Right now, we can't achieve that fully, but at least take out some percentage of what we buy from the international market in that respect, with respect to wheat-related productions in Nigeria. So, yes, we can do something. We can try to begin to increase our wheat production, invest in it if we didn't do so before now. Mm-hmm. This should let us know that we are independent, but we are economically very, very dependent.
Hmm.
And we should begin to look at how to be able to do things we do and consume what we consume here from things that we produce here. In the 70s, we were almost 90% independent. Everything, nearly everything we consumed came from within here. Even up to vehicles. Remember, we had Volkswagen plants, Peugeot plants. The rest of them. Even up to vehicles. Even
wow.
up to tires, we are produced here. So this should teach us that we have become too dependent. And unless we begin to do something about becoming self-sufficient and independent in a lot of things we do, we're going to remain weaker. Our currency is going to continue to fall because we are not producing. And our consumption is going to be breaking by the increase in cost of things that have to be bought. As you know, there is less money in the pocket of the average Nigerian citizen at this moment in the state of our economy. You can imagine what will happen if they need to find more money to be able to even do the subsistence consumption they are doing now, or expenditure they are doing now to keep them alive. So this should teach us a lesson, and the lesson should be in the direction of getting ourselves more independent.
Now, there are speculations of World War III coming up. Now, some people are saying that this could lead to World War III. And former presidential aspirant Adamu Garba, he's even saying that that the African continent needs a third world war if it is to happen. And he said it's going to be of huge advantage to the continent. Can I get your reaction to that?
Well, everything is possible and the realm of possibility, but very less likely to happen. The world will usually begin with talks of sanction and all that.
Yeah.
It is possible, but not very probable, that this conflict can escalate to the point where results is hard to military reaction by other nations in support of one party or the other. So yes, it's possible, but it's highly improbable at this moment, in my opinion.
All right, so let's...
Because Nigeria needs a World War III. We can't say for certain if it's a thing of, if it's going to be a positive thing for us. The previous one, even if we assess ourselves as doing fairly well under the previous one, remember we are no longer who we were at that time.
Yeah.
And we are highly dependent on other nations in the world now. So any disruption of activities in the international market is likely going to have serious negative effects on us as a country.
Okay. Let's talk about the Nigerians who are over there in Ukraine. Of course, yesterday also, I think, what are they called now? Some of the Nigerian students were lamenting that they were stranded. Now, they even went on to say that they've been trying to reach out to the embassy for like 1 month and they've not been able to get a response. But then yesterday, of course, the House of Reps ordered for the evacuation of Nigerians. But right now, from what we hear, the airspace is not even open for anybody to start flying out. What will be the fate of Nigerians who are in Ukraine if this invasion goes beyond military formations to civilians?
Full-scale war that affects civilians directly.
Yes.
It's going to be bad. I think our reaction to the situation has been a bit belated. If you need to get your citizens off an emerging crisis, the time to do it is not the time that the crisis has broken out.
Mm.
You do that in the build-up to the crisis. You project what is likely to happen in the next 1 month and the next few weeks, and on the strength of that, you do any evacuations that you consider necessary. Because when crisis breaks out, you don't determine the channels that are available for moving persons. So if this degenerates to a full-scale war, it is war, quite all right. But Russia claims it's targeting military facilities for now. If this degenerates beyond that to a full-scale war, where strikes are hitting civilian territories, it means Nigerians in Ukraine will suffer exactly the fate of people who are in a war zone, and there will be little or nothing we can do as a nation at that point. That's why nations make evacuation efforts before crisis breaks out, not while the crisis is on.
Yeah. Well, of course, I've been speaking with Professor Richard Nwokocha on the issue of the Russia-Ukraine conflict and how it affects Nigeria. Professor, please, you would stay on the line with me for a few minutes. We'll go on a commercial break, and then when we come back, we'll take calls and then have your response to maybe any questions that would arise from those phone calls.
That's okay.
All right, thank you very much. Please don't go anywhere. It's still Hard Facts on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
we take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk. Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back. So let's continue our conversation on how the Russia-Ukraine conflict affects Nigeria. And, well, of course, Professor Richard Wokocha has been taking us on that one. And so far, a particular thing he said about Nigerians who are up there in Ukraine, he says the federal government should have evacuated them before it got to this extent. You don't evacuate your people or your citizens in the heat of the moment. You evacuate them way before it gets bad. And well, he's also said that Nigeria is going to be affected because Russia is one of the places where Nigeria gets her wheat from. All right, Russia is actually one of the largest exporters of wheat, so this makes it a big issue for Nigeria. Of course, it's one of the most consumed grains in the world. It's used for the production of noodles, pasta, cakes, and other confectionaries. And then he's also talked about how it's going to, be good with regards to petrol. But with the country's subsidy shortfall payments, how would that also pan out? Okay, well, let's continue our conversation with you, Professor. Prof.
Yes.
So, Ukraine is actually one of Nigeria's highest education tourism destinations. We have about 4,000 students over there in that country. Yes. At the moment, so many other countries or leaders have voiced their concern based on what's going on up there in Eastern Europe. Should the federal government have a position? I mean, even the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Geoffrey Onyema, some journalists caught up with him and tried to ask him, what is Nigeria's stand on Russia's invasion of Ukraine? And he didn't even give any comments. Is this a time to keep quiet and observe?
Well, as you know, Nigeria enjoys a normal relationship with both countries. And in times like this, not being a major factor in what is an issue in the cold or ice war going on between Russia and its Western counterparts with respect to their interests in Ukraine. The best Nigeria can do, like most nations are doing, is encourage both parties tools on the warring part and see how they can settle their differences in a non-military fashion. I think that line has been crossed by many nations like Nigeria, who stand to be affected one way or the other, but who are not key players in the international politics panning out there in Ukraine. So our position will likely be the same thing. It may be advisable to take the same position. If we curse or shout at Russia and anything, it won't stop what Russia is doing and it won't have any effect. Mm. It won't even have a positive effect for Ukraine. So at best, what we can do is to encourage both nations to stop the hostilities and resort to resolving whatever the differences are in an amicable manner, at least a non-military manner.
Mm. So that means the Nigerian government should actually say something. I mean, South Africa has called on Russia to immediately withdraw troops from Ukraine.
Yes, we have a moral responsibility as a friend to Ukraine and friend to Russia. We have a moral responsibility to call on both parties to do something that will create less pain for their citizens. Unless you do not wish them well. Otherwise, every responsible nation in the international community should say something, at least on the part that is known to be positive.
Hmm.
Say something to encourage both nations to end hostilities.
Interesting. All right, let's get to the phone lines now. We're talking about how the Russia-Ukraine conflict affects Nigeria. Do you have any concerns about what's going on? Do you even understand what is going on? Maybe you could get clarifications if you don't understand what's going on. We have the Professor of Constitutional Law and Jurisprudence with us, Professor Wokocha. The numbers to call are 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0003. Send messages via WhatsApp to 0809-030-6416. Hello, you're welcome. What's your name?
I'm calling from
Okay, please go on.
Yes. I'm actually following up this matter critically from both international news agencies, CNN and Agenda. Because if you watch yesterday, China flew three private jets in the airspace of Taiwan. So I think this is moving rapidly beyond where the world is seeing it. So I think Nigerian government needs to speak up. They need to do something fast.
Okay, I'm going to have to just cut you off because I don't know what's happening with your line. All right, do well to call back if you can. 0817-923-0002. Well, on WhatsApp, we have a couple of messages. You can also call 0817-923-0003. Hello, welcome. What's your name?
Postman.
Good evening.
My name is Bonnie.
Please go on.
I want to ask, do we have a Russian state in Nigeria? Or do we have Ukrainian in Nigeria? If they are in Nigeria, I'm sure they are due. Now, look at the way Nigerian government have made their statement that Nigeria is scattered all over the country. Even if there are Russian Ukraine in Nigeria, they are few. Maybe they are here for scientific discovery and others. You cannot see any of them in university, or they are going to school here, or they are looking for job here, because Nigerian population have subject their citizenry to scatter all over the country. Now, the Russia, the Ukraine, and Nigeria are there in their country. What are they going there for? They are going there for different things and others. What am I expecting Nigeria to do? Because they say Nigeria is the end of Africa, based on their military equipment. What Nigeria would have done, he would have protected to the Basilican aspect of where God now told Satan, look at Job, don't touch him, whatever he was doing. Nigeria would have talked to the Russian government and said, my people are there, hence they are powerful here. Don't touch them, make sure you don't touch them. If you touch them, we are coming with a military weapon. Because what Nigerians would do, what they normally do is to exercise that their military over their citizens.
Okay, thank you so much for calling. That really made me laugh. Professor, I'm sure you heard that.
Yes, I heard him. Quite interesting. You know, there is this joke about a Nigerian minister being quoted to say that Nigeria will soon be producing aircraft and one of the cities of the government. Former Senator Sani, I think. But please, let's concentrate on witchcraft and forget about aircraft. I don't know the military might want to flaunt. In the crisis between Ukraine and Russia. But I think that's on the lighter side. Even the gentleman who made that proposal, I'm sure, was talking on the lighter side.
Yeah, sure.
When crisis has broken out, you cannot tell a bomb to look at the faces that are in a place where it's landing before it lands.
Mm-hmm.
That issue of don't touch my people will not come because your people are not in a particular place.
Mm-hmm.
And if facilities have broken out to the point where civilian population is targeted or indiscriminate bombing is taking place, you cannot talk about your people being touched. What responsible nations like America do is to get their people. I encourage their people to leave because they can't force them out. Encourage them to leave, provide facility for those who agree to be evacuated, to be evacuated.
Mm.
Those who want to exercise their right of remaining in that place and suffering whatever consequence, become casualties of the war. As they say, everything that dies in the night is casualty of the mosquito war. So, no nation says, oh, you killed my person or you killed my citizen while you are fighting another nation. No, what nations do is evacuate their citizens.
Yeah.
To prevent them from falling casualty, because war weapons, ammunition, and bombs do not know the nations of their victims.
Hmm. But is there anything that the federal government can do now at this time? Of course, the Ukrainian ambassador to Nigeria says Nigerians can't be evacuated. But I saw online where some persons in Poland were saying if they can come over to Poland, they would be able to accommodate them. But then I saw another post on Twitter where someone was lamenting that whether the Polish government is not allowing Africans into their country.
Yes, those roundabout means can be explored and tried out. When war has broken out, the airspace is certainly not open. Whoever flies at its own risk can bear it. But if Ukraine still has control of its boundary with any other nation, then the Nigerian High Commission in Ukraine or Embassy in Ukraine can do the necessary transactions to see the possibility of moving Nigerians by road to those places, those other nations. If rail movement is still possible out of the nation, then you can see how you can explore those areas to move your citizens out of that nation into another nation and then evacuate them from that other nation, as you have suggested, Poland and other neighboring countries to Ukraine.
All right.
Yes, that can be worked out physically and on ground. Yes, that's very possible. It will be about the only chance left now, so long as the Ukrainian government still has control of this territory while the war is on.
All right, Professor of Constitutional Law and Jurisprudence, Professor Richard Nwokocha, thank you so much for speaking to us on Hard Facts and, of course, giving us clarifications on this ongoing conflict. Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, my name is Constance Mega.